Today, I'm speaking with Marcy Warhaft. She's a recognized body image expert and resiliency coach. She was named one of Canada's top 100 health influencers and founded the Fit vs. Fiction Body Image Workshops. Marcy is the author of The Good Stripper, a soccer mom's memoir of lies, loss, and lap dances. Marcy uses her experiences to help others release themselves of the shame, guilt, and insecurities that keep them from living their lives with the joy they deserve. Now, here's Marcy. Welcome to Menopause Reimagined, Marcy.
I'm so happy to be here with you, Andrea.
So today we are going to talk about something that is raw, that is real, and that is something that many of us are experiencing, but maybe we don't speak about out loud. A lot of us are speaking to ourselves about it in our minds. And it's not something that I really wanted to talk about without you, Marcy, actually. And you're the perfect person for us to have this safe space to have this conversation. Because for those of you listening, Marcy and I have known each other since we're 15, 16, a really long time.
About that.
A really long time.
Oof.
And it's like time flies. And we're both, you know.
Like 20 years. No,
I know. And I'm 54 now. And I think, are you 54 yet? In a few weeks. Okay. So we're the same age. And Marcy is as I mentioned in the intro, she's a body image expert. And anytime that I talk about anything to do with weight gain, weight loss, I always go to Marcy to check the wording because I want to be very conscious about diet culture. And also I had my own eating disorder for so many years of my life. And I try to be very compassionate around the topic. So Marcy is my go-to. And I wanted to have this conversation today because we all have fears. And we all have thoughts that go through our minds, and they are all valid. As you know, here at Menopause Reimagined, there's no judgment. Everything is valid, and you are supported in everything that you feel. So, Marcy, why don't you start us off in terms of the conversation about some of the fears that many of us are experiencing, or even if you're not there yet, which you're not yet in menopause, Marcy, but in perimenopause, what are some of those fears that many of us are thinking or experiencing when it comes to weight or just in general?
Well, I think, and you know, because you know me so well, and because we've talked about this a lot, when you talked at the beginning about how we're going to get real and raw, I mean, that's kind of my forte these days. I don't really filter much. And I've told you that as much as I wish that I could be going into this next phase with this, like, yeah, I'm empowered and I'm a woman and I have my fears. I don't want it. I don't. And I don't feel like that's very feminist of me to say that, but it's the truth. And that's what you're going to get from me. And I do, I avoid a lot of information about it now. I sort of feel like if I hear about it, it's going to happen and it's going to happen. But I think for me, the fears around it are, it's the fact that it's so unpredictable. From what I'm hearing. And I feel that as women, we've had to deal with challenges towards our bodies since we started menstruating. I mean, we have constantly, whether through menstruation to childbirth, if we've had babies, to so many things that are constantly happening with our bodies, it's almost like, when do we get to own them? When do I get control over it? And especially, as you know, with your eating disorder, I battled an eating disorder for most of my life. And I felt I had no control over my body, even though part of an eating disorder is when you think you have complete control, or you try to, but you don't. And so for me personally, I felt like, okay, so I've battled my eating disorder and I'm in really strong recovery. And now I got to go through menopause where I'm told that you don't know what's going to happen from day to day and your body's going to change. And really, like, I feel it's almost unfair. And I always joke that I wish menopause was kind of like when your computer tells you you need an update and you get to choose the hour and the day it's going to happen. I wish that was menopause. I get to choose the day and the hour, and it lasts an hour. And then after that, my hair is shinier and my skin is clearer. I feel like we've earned that as women. I really do. I feel like we've earned it. And it kind of pisses me off that there's more challenges. And so I think that that's at the base of the fear is the unknown. Because what I hear too is it's different, just like your menstrual cycle, it's different for different women. Yeah. This is going to be different. And I think we fear, if we hear that there are so many possible side effects, a lot of us will think, oh God, I'm going to get all of them, you know? And it's like, you might not get any of them. And it's that fear of the unknown. And especially when it comes to our bodies, because like it or not, we do still live in a society as far as we may have come, we still live in a society that where we do feel like we're worth more if we weigh less. And that's not true. And we tend to judge ourselves on our pant size or what the scale says or what it said last year compared to this year. And it's such ridiculous stress we put on ourselves. But here is just an extra thing to worry about. And I think that's why a lot of us are worrying. It's the unknown, and also old demons that maybe we have dealt with in the past are going to come back in a different way.
You know, it's so interesting as you're speaking, I'm thinking, you know, as Gen X women, growing up as Gen X women, and I do want a side note, I want you to tell your story. So don't let me forget you telling your story of how you even got here. So as Gen X women, we had to deal with so much growing up. And I think our generation, I look at the millennial, the generation coming up after us and the Gen Zs, I look at my own kids. It's so different when it comes to body image and it comes to, you know, their being in their power versus Gen Xers. Many of us, and I don't think we're, you know, there's different degrees of disordered eating, and that's why I want you to tell your story. But I don't think it's uncommon for many of us having had issues with our weight or thinking about, you know, oh, I'm, you know, I'm gaining weight or I'm fat or whatever it is. And as we go now into perimenopause and menopause, these thoughts come with us, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say absolutely, because I believe that the difference, in a way that the younger generations are have it maybe have it a bit harder or from a different perspective, is that they have social media to deal with that we didn't. So they have, they'll post a picture and then they'll have a bunch of strangers who comment on it, or they'll see other people's pictures and compare themselves. And we didn't have that. However, I will say, the flip side to that is that there are also body positivity groups and positive body image groups and all this stuff where you can find it, you see it, and then if you want to look for it, it's there. So they have that, a bit of a balance, whereas we didn't have that. I
Yeah,
had my sister's
exactly.
Cosmopolitan magazine. I had, my whatever a diet that the women in my family were on, or my friends' mothers were on, and there was the diet ads. We don't have that now, but we had all those weight loss products. Then there were the ads in magazines. There we had all of the women have to be skinny messages, but we didn't have the other side of it. And so
Exactly.
it was just, we don't even realize how it was just ingrained in our psyche. So yeah, even if you've managed to get through your life and have either not had major issues or had them and they passed, or you've dealt with it, having to deal with this again in a different way, it a lot of stuff we don't even realize is going to come back. And so it we do have, we were strong in so many ways, but this is one thing that we've carried with us, and it's going to come out in ways that we didn't expect.
And I, you know, to be raw and honest, I struggle with it too, in terms of it's the old programs. I'm constantly, you know, shushing those old programs or working through those old programs. And I'm going to give you an example, you know, and I've shared this before on my podcast, but as I was going through perimenopause, I gained a lot of weight. I gained about 20 pounds for me. I had put on about 20 pounds. I hear women who gain 50 pounds, women who gain 30 pounds. So, you know, women who gain a lot of weight as we go into this phase of life. And at the time when I was going through it, and I think I had interviewed you for our podcast, like our earlier podcast, you were probably, this is back in like 2016 or something. And I had put on, and I was gaining and I was losing weight. And I remember asking other women my age, of like, are you experiencing this too? I'm not changing anything I'm eating. I'm exercising the same. Like, it's just what's happening to my body. And I didn't really know much about perimenopause, menopause, any of this back then. Like, I mean, I knew I was starting to learn, right? And I remember being really hard on myself and thinking, well, why isn't my clothes fitting? Why am I gaining weight? It must be something that I'm doing. It must be my fault that I'm doing it, right? And then you hear from other women in our community who are being told by their healthcare providers or people around them saying, you know, just eat less, exercise more, right? So again, putting that blame on us that it's our fault. But now that I know better, and now that I've done all this research over the last 6, 7 years, is that we know that there are changes happening to our body. And part of the research that I'm doing for my new book that I'm writing, that Marcy has a part in it as well, is we're talking about the reasons that we're gaining weight and how it's not our fault and how so much of it is not our fault. Yes, there are parts that we can take control of and that we can look at what we're eating and doing 100%, but there are 15 different reasons, a minimum, as to why we're gaining weight in this phase of life. So I want us to, and Marcy, this is where I want you to come in, to be gentle with ourselves, to m help ourselves realize that, A, this isn't our fault. And again, these old programs that are coming to the surface for us and being like, oh, it's me, I something I'm doing. But it actually isn't in many of the cases.
There's no blame because
Right.
we're not doing anything wrong. And it's nobody's fault because
Exactly.
it's almost like somebody's pregnant and you're saying, well, okay, but it's not your fault that you're getting, your body's doing what your body's supposed to do. So there's no blame and it's nobody's fault. This is just, it's more
Exactly.
of a, instead of saying the blame isn't on us, it's the reasons aren't something that we can control. So the reason why we may be gaining weight during menopause, it's not a question of whose fault is it? It's what's the reasoning, right? So it's not a, so the reasons are because our bodies are going through changes and this is what they do. And you know way more about that than I do, sort of the technical parts of it. But there's a reason. The same way, again, our bodies change when we menstruate, or our body, like our women's bodies can change day to day, week to week. They just change depending on where we are during the month. It's insane how much our bodies change.
Exactly.
But there's no blame. Gaining weight, it's not a crime. It's not a crime. We're not doing anything wrong by gaining weight. My God, look at what our bodies do every single day. Look at what we do as human beings every single day. If the worst thing is that we put on some weight, we're doing okay, right? I mean, you can still be healthy. I think what happens is we have to, and I speak for myself too. I mean, listen, I self-talk. I talk to myself more than I talk to any other person on this planet. And there's a lot of self-talk that gets me through my recovery. But I mean, I think we have to understand that we're okay, and we're not less than because we're bigger. We're not, are you less interesting, intelligent, funny? Are you a less of a friend, of a partner, of a mom because you weigh more? No, it doesn't affect any of that, right? And you can be healthy at a different weight. I think it comes to adjusting. We have to readjust because this is a different part of our life. And so we have to just maybe make little adjustments. And a lot of that won't be physical, even aside from maybe changing your clothes or some, it's more mental. We just have to readjust to, okay, so this is where I am now. How can I be the best version of me instead of fighting against it and going, I'm gonna do everything. I know my diet really isn't affecting it. I know my exercise really isn't affecting it, but I'm gonna beat the crap out of myself to try to get myself back into the size that I was. And then you're stressing and you're not enjoying things. Instead, look at it as, okay, this is where I am now. I don't want to get unhealthy. I don't want to be uncomfortable, but there's things that I can do to make myself as healthy and as happy as I can be in this new version of me. It's not a worse version. It's just a different version. And it's unrealistic to think that we're going to be the same in our 50s, in our 60s, and moving forward that we were in our 20s and 30s. It's unreal. And why would we want to be? I would not want to be the same person mentally or emotionally, psychologically as I was when I was 20. My God, I've grown so much. So how
Oh,
can I expect to be
100%.
the same physically? You can't. So I think it's so important, like you said, to be kind to yourself, but really understand it's not that you're placating yourself and being like, it's okay. It really is. There's no blame. There's no crime. You're not doing anything wrong by supporting your body and doing what your body needs to do naturally. If it was just me, I'd kind of have to go, okay, so maybe I can make some changes. But it's not. This is something that happens with most women, which is why you got to go, oh, maybe this is what my body is supposed to be doing naturally, and give yourself a break.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Cindy Bigelow of Bigelow Tea, and I'm here to introduce you to our newest line called Bigelow Benefits. I love them all. We have stress-free, and I say, who doesn't want to be stress-free? Stay well, perfect for this time of year. Calm stomach, sleep, another important one, and our newest, throat defense. So try any one of them. You can buy them on Amazon or BigelowTea.com. I guarantee you, you will love them all.
Oh yeah, it's about 50% of women, according to our research. So it's a high number. And by the way, that blame is not only, and that's where the reprogramming comes in, is it's blame that we put on ourselves, but also blame from society, from people around us. So that is so important for us to understand that A, like that has to stop. We have to like retrain our minds. And also, one of the things, and I was just having this conversation the other day with with another friend of mine, is that we need to like, and like you said, it's also adjusting. So our bodies are constantly changing, not thinking, okay, I'm gonna lose the X amount of pounds so that I could fit back into my jeans that I wore X amount of years ago. It's Okay, here's where I'm at now. I'm going to buy myself a new pair of jeans so that I actually can wear my jeans now, as opposed to that stress and that anxiety of having to lose the weight. And part of that, and I'd love you to create, to share some strategies for us as to how can we get our mind around that? How can we say, get to the point where we're like, okay, I'm going to buy that new size pair of jeans or clothes or whatever it is, so that I can actually live my life now and be in the present, as opposed to constantly chasing the old me or the old weight.
And I think a lot of it comes from, we have this cycle, this treadmill in our brain that goes on and on with that. And so that's when I say with my self-talk, I mean, sometimes it really is just saying, no, I'm not, stop. You know, when the negative thoughts come in, you don't entertain it. You just kind of go, stop. This is not helpful. And when it comes
That's
to,
good.
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so that's a good strategy is the self-talk, right? So you're saying to yourself, okay, stop. Stop that right now.
Stop. And I also know there's a difference between a feeling and a fact. So there are times when I'll just say to myself, is this realistic? Even things like I can wear a pair of jeans today and then 3 days from now they'd be tighter. And I'll go, okay, Marcy, realistically, could you have gained a significant amount of weight? No. So let it go. It's just your body fluctuating. Done. I won't sit there and let myself spin with it for a long time, but it's that kind of, listen, there's Marcy and how Marcy feels about things, and then there's the reality. And you need to know the difference. So we need to feel how we're feeling it, but also to know that the feelings are necessarily a fact, and to stop that. And then when it comes to also, it's reframing our thoughts when it comes to even buying new clothes. It's not, you're not punishing yourself by going out and buying a pair of jeans that are a couple size bigger. You're doing yourself a favor. You're celebrating this new you. Go out and buy yourself you. And the thing is, like, who says in our heads? I know I do this with myself too. Who says that the smallest version of me is the most attractive version? Who says that the smallest version of me is the most interesting one? It's not. I mean, I know that there are times when I'll feel great. I'll look at pictures when I think, oh, you know what? I look kind of frail. I don't want that. And I need to remind myself of that when I am feeling bigger, when I am bigger, that like I have it in my head. I'm way kinder with other women than I am with myself. I still have it in my head that, oh, well, this you were wearing smaller sizes. That was big. And then I have to stop myself and go, no, it's not. So when you go to buy, be excited about buying new clothes for a new body and own it. And you'll see, because you'll be more, it is way more comfortable to be wearing a pair of pants or a dress or a sweater that fits and you feel good in that than trying to squeeze yourself into something that doesn't fit. My God, it's physically uncomfortable, it's emotionally uncomfortable. But go into it as, you know what? I'm gonna see what this new body can do. You know, I'm gonna dress this new body. We really need to look at it as an opportunity to get to know this other version instead of trying to hold on to that one, because that one's gone, or it's just different. Even if it's not a huge change, life throws so many things at us, you know, that we can't control. And this is a way of kind of going, all right, let's see what this will bring in a positive way. Because it's the fear that gets us. It's not the reality. It's the fear.
So Marcy, can you tell us a little bit about your backstory? Like it is, when I think about you and I think about, your survival, like it's so incredible what you have endured, and you are such an like, just tell your story. Like, and after everyone's gonna hear, be like, oh my God, I can see why Andrea loves you so much. Like you have gone through so much. You are a true survivor, and I would love you to share your story.
Well, there's so much of it. I don't know what parts you want me to share. There's
Well,
been
they should
such
buy your
a
book.
Amazon is the
Okay.
easiest way, or through, or if it's they're interested in an audiobook, it's on Audible.
Okay,
But
we're going to put a
Amazon's pretty
link
much the easiest.
below. I was very
Perfect.
blessed to be part of your book when you were writing it, and it's incredible. I mean,
You were
Marcy's.
actually one person who, every time I do a podcast and people say, why did you write it? And I always say I had a couple of friends, and you were one of them, one of two, who for years was saying I should write a book. And
Oh.
I thought I couldn't. And I think one of the reasons why I thought I couldn't was because you saw my survival. I didn't see that. You saw my survival as being, you'd say, oh, you're going to inspire so many people, but I was still locked in the shame of what I did to survive. So as I always say, I instead of being proud of the fact that I survived, I was still shameful about the things that I did to survive, and that it wasn't pretty, and you know, got a little messy and dirty at times. And I had to get to the point where I let go of the shame, and I could see my survival more, and I could own that. That's when I became ready to write it. But yeah, you were definitely I heard your voice for years. You're like, write it. So I appreciate that. But I'll say this. So to sort of put everything in a nutshell without revealing too much, I will say that I started off as this really, really confident, very loved, very protected kid who felt like I could take over the world. I was very outgoing. I sang, I danced, I was like a performer since I was really little. I came from a small family, but you know, my mom and my brother especially were incredibly supportive of me, and really, my mother told me at a very young age that I had a voice and every right to use it, and that just to be whoever I want to be. And I thought, what a great, I mean, on paper, this little girl is gonna move mountains. And then life was like, wait, not so fast, and started systematically removing all the things in my life at a young age that made me feel safe and loved and protected. And you know, losing my brother when I was 17 was a major one. And I always go back to that because I think that was when my eating disorder started. And with everything that happened in my life after that, and there was a whole bunch of craziness that happened after that, the eating disorder at 17 really set me on this really dangerous path, because when he died, there were two things. One, I felt like, oh my God, how did my amazingly good-looking, strong brother die at 21 years old? I felt very scared, and I felt the world felt like I terrifying. And what's the one thing I could control was my body. And so I felt like if I started, if the logic, if I start controlling how I look and how much I weigh and what I eat and how much I exercise, maybe I'll be safe, which we know isn't reality. The other part of it was that I felt that he was a much better person than I was. And I felt that I didn't deserve to be here if he wasn't. And I felt like I needed to spend the rest of my life proving my worth. And I suddenly, this little girl who thought she could be anything, didn't think she deserved to be anything. And I didn't think I was smart enough, funny enough, pretty enough, anything enough. And so again, it was like, well, maybe if I'm skinny enough. But that carried me through the next few decades. And so when you go through life feeling like you don't look good enough, you're not good enough, it sets you up for to not be able to handle the some people or situations that you're put in. You're not prepared, and I wasn't prepared. And so my eating disorder, I mean, I always say I could be a poster child, because it was from starving myself to compulsive overeating to overtraining to, I mean, my poor body's been through hell and back, and that was what I did to it. And then life was like, you know, we're not, I know you're not good yet. I know you're not in stable grounds, but we're going to throw some major life challenges at you, which is, you know, my going through near death experiences and losing more people in my life and dealing with, my God, just betrayal after betrayal after betrayal, and
Oh,
then
incredible.
physical trauma. So it was, I had emotional traumas, I had physical traumas, I had major losses. And it was it got to the point where it nearly killed me, and I made some really insane choices that I wouldn't do again. And you know, it did take me to places I never would have expected and wasn't prepared for. And that's where some shame comes in. But I one thing that started to help me get better was when I did go into recovery for my eating disorder. And it's amazing how when you're eating healthy and you're sleeping properly, how your brain kind of goes, oh, wait a minute. You kind of get to this place of like, oh, so like being healthy actually feels pretty good and helps you make better choices. I will say that life didn't get easier when I went into recovery. So I did relapse a few times, because that's my thing. I didn't go to drugs, I didn't go to alcohol. I mean, food and my body was my thing. And when life gets scary, I know it now, even when the world is scary, I tend to focus more on my body, and I catch myself and go, oh, this is what you do. This is what you do. When it's too scary out there, you focus on you. And the old demons come back, and I have to be strong enough to say, not this time. But so I was challenged in every way, physically and emotionally. I felt very alone in all of that, and was at risk. And then somehow, I think having that base at the very beginning of my life with this incredible mother and this brother who were there for me, it put something in me that didn't let me give up. And I had two children at this point who I couldn't give up for. I said in my book, I gave them life, but they saved mine, because they gave me a purpose. And I couldn't just give up. I listen, I always say all the time, people go, oh, You're so great. You never gave up. Nobody gave up. I never stayed down. You know, I fell down many, many, many times. And sometimes I picked myself up quickly, and sometimes I was crawling and like just gripping, you know, on my hands and knees. But I always did. And I think that's kind of my message too, is even when things look as dark as they can possibly be, and you don't see the light that's like at the end of the tunnel, it's there, even if you can't see it. So you got to just keep going. It's like that expression, if you're going through hell, keep going, you know? And so that's kind of it. That's kind of the when I wrote the book, I thought it was about survival. And what I found was a lot of it's about truth also, because once I had carried decades worth of secrets and let them keep me trapped. And then when I decided to take them out of the drawer and unwrap them and send them free, it was terrifying, but it was very liberating. And I think that's why I'm so open to talk about things, because I think the more we talk about it, and things like this, right? The fears that we have, I think sometimes we feel so isolated, like we're the only ones feeling this. And I think it's so important when we share our vulnerabilities and we share our truths. And when we think it's something to be ashamed of, there's so many other people who are going, oh my God, me too.
When you're talking about that, Marcy, it resonates so much with me, and I know it'll resonate so much with our listeners because for so many of us, we are going through such a hard time. I mean, I remember when I was in perimenopause, I was going through such a hard time. And I always say, and ladies, I don't ever want you to compare yourself to Marcy or to her stories. When we look at all of our experiences, you know, it what you're going through might be really, really, really difficult for you. And there's no comparisons to others, like the big T, the small T traumas. Like when we talk about that, we all have our own experiences. And for each of us, they are tough. They are, you know, we for many of us, we're having hot flashes or all the, you know, any of the 100 plus symptoms that we can experience in this phase of life, and they are debilitating. And for many of us, we can't get out of bed. We're so exhausted. We can't focus. Like, so we're changing. Our bodies may not be the same as they were. So as I'm hearing you speak, Marcy, I'm like, it resonates so much because it's inspiring. And knowing that someone like yourself got through to that other end and you didn't give up. And that's the message of hope that we always love to give here at our podcast at Menopause Reimagined, is that I always say, like, it's hard for us to see through the weeds as we're going through what we're going through, right? But once we get to that other side, and now I'm kind of talking perimenopause, menopause, but once we get to that other side, and it can be for anything in life, you know, not only, you know, the phases of our of where we are in our life, but when we get to that other side, and we've persevered, as hard as that may be for so many of us, it, you know, it can get better. And when I look at you and I'm like, this story of survival and how far you've come, it's inspiring. So, you know, thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I think though, as I said before, and you just said something that made me think. I think we tend to be, we know hardest on ourselves. So we have to remember also when we're looking at ourselves, we're
Yes.
looking at ourselves through skewed eyes. You know, it's almost like there's this filter on, but instead of the social media filters to make us look better, I think we always put the shade on us that I don't know if we're comparing ourselves to the best we've ever seen ourselves or what it is, but we tend to see ourselves more harshly than others do. And I think sometimes it's important to really understand that when oftentimes I think our friends will say, oh, you look great, and we'll be like, no, I look tired, or no, I and it's kind of like, and you assume that they're just being nice, but no, you're just being mean to yourself, because maybe what they're seeing is what they're seeing, you know. In the same way, again, we wouldn't like I can see friends of mine and I see such beauty in them. Truly, I'm not just being, and they won't see, and it's like, how do you not see that? And just because it's like you said, we've been conditioned for so long to be so judgmental. And so I think it is important to know that when we are looking at ourselves, and I do this too, this is part of the self-talk too, is I'll look at myself and sometimes feel, oh, like I don't look great. And then I'll think, nobody's examining me the way that I'm examining me. Like
Exactly.
people will just, they'll look at you and they'll just see you. Nobody's going, oh, wait a minute, her. I see that, and I didn't see that. Nobody's doing that. Nobody knows if you gained it. Like it just isn't. There are times in my life where I thought, wow, there was a huge, do you remember like last year when I was so, and people are like, what are you talking about? Like you look the same. And I'm like, what? Are you crazy? Like, what can't be? But we are so hard on ourselves. And I think we
So
really do need to
self-critical.
say, and so critical. Do you notice that it's always physical? Because I've said before, somebody can say to you, oh, you're an idiot. And you'll go, no, I'm not. And it doesn't, you don't feel it at all. I mean, because what are they? No, I know I'm. But when if they say something negative, about it's all of a sudden you give them all this power. Oh, maybe they're right. No, they're still wrong. They're still, but we are so quick to fall for the negative with our looks, especially as women. I mean, it's the truth, you know. And I think it is as we get older, because it has been something that we have been programmed with forever, forever. It's still happening now, but there is that balance. We don't. And I want to say one more thing, just because you said about comparing yourselves when it comes to certain things. I think that's another thing too. Just don't compare your body to another woman's body at the same. I mean, we're not going to be Jennifer Lopez and you know, like all of that. Like whenever I see this is 50 next to, you know, somebody who's a superstar or whatever, I'm like, that's their 50. You know, we all have our own 50, 60, 70. So don't compare yourself to somebody else too. Our bodies have been through our own stuff. Our lives are different. It's just, we have to be the best versions of ourselves. But the best version, again, isn't necessarily the smallest version. It's the healthiest, happiest version is the best version. Your body, when you can do the things you want to do, you have the energy to do the things you want to do, you can eat the things that you want to eat, you can rest, you can enjoy being with company, you're not thinking about diets and calories. Whatever your body is at that point, that's your best body for that time. It has nothing to do with the number or the size.
Well, I'm a big fan of mantras, and I know that there are certain mantras that you like as well, like I am strong, I am healthy, like certain things that we say to ourselves or that we should be saying to ourselves on a regular basis, especially if we're feeling a certain way and looking in the mirror and saying things like even looking in the mirror and saying, I love you is so hard for so many of us, right? That self-love, that learning to accept ourselves as we are. And little things like the tips Marcy gave, or mantras that you could say to yourself. And we have actually in our book, as you're speaking, I'm like, we have an entire chapter of this in my book that my mom wrote with me, which is really exciting. And so we're going to cover that big time in our book that comes out next year. But I think if you can share, if you could share some mantras that you find powerful, I think that would be amazing, that those who are listening could be like, okay, so these are things that I could say to myself. And then that's self-forgiveness, right? That's so big. You're so right. We're so hard on ourselves. We're harder on ourselves than we are on anybody else. And that has to change.
But I'll tell you what I do. There was a time when I gained weight a little while ago, and I will, like, again, I'll cycle, my body will go up now. But one thing that's different about me now than it was back when I was really dealing with disordered eating and that whole thing was I made a promise to myself several years ago that I would never, ever, ever say I hate my body, ever. It didn't matter how much weight I gained, didn't matter. I would never say, because I'm so appreciative for my body for everything that it survived. And I know that I had gained weight last year and really uncomfortable, and but I made it. Even then, I would look at myself in the mirror and I would look at my body, or in the shower, you know, and I'd look at myself and go, I love you, which is crazy, and I appreciate you, and it was, I'm going to work with
Love that.
you. And I think that's one thing I talk about too. We spend so much of our life, I mean, dieting doesn't work because we're working against our bodies, against what our bodies want, against what our bodies need. But when you love your body, you cannot hate your body healthy. You cannot hate your body skinny, right? Because you will punish your body. Being fit shouldn't be a punishment. Being healthy shouldn't be a punishment. It's not something you do because you hate your body. It's something you do because you love your body and you know that you deserve to be healthy and happy. So I would look at my body at all stages and go, I'm so appreciative for what you can do. I'm so appreciative that I can move and that I can breathe and that I can dance and that I can hug my children. And I'm so appreciative I can experience all those things. And if I'm in a place, because that's the reality too. I mean, it's like you said, sometimes if you are in a place with your body where you don't feel comfortable and you don't feel good, I'm not saying that you should go, I love you, envy, because then people are going, that's not realistic. But there's a difference between loving who you are and loving where you are. And so your worth as a person isn't dependent on what the scale says. So I'm still who I am, whether I'm underweight or overweight or at the weight that I want to be. And so it's really important that you know that you cannot be, it's okay, it's realistic if you're at a place with your weight that you aren't, that you don't like. But that's not the same as not liking your body. That's not liking the phase that you're in right now. And you can work on that. But it's still so important that you still go, I love you. I am so appreciative for how you work, and I am going to work with you to get you to the place where you feel good. You know what I mean? The difference. And that's when you can do, and again, we're not talking weight loss. I never talk weight loss ever.
We're
But
talking
there are
healthy,
things that
healthy
you
body.
could, right, there are things that you can do to get yourself to the place where you feel better, but there's still the difference. And I think it's so important to, that's the biggest thing. It's not, oh, I hate my body. You don't hate your body. You hate the phase that you're in right now. You hate the way your body feels right now, but you love your body. Your body's worked so every single day that the things that it does to keep you breathing. And so you're going to work with it to get it to the place where you're happier. That's the hugest one for me, is to never say you hate your body,
And our
to work
body,
with
our
it.
subconscious hears everything we say. So that's why I love power. That's why for me, saying things out loud are so awesome, and saying mantras or whatever it is that works for you. I love it because we're going to believe eventually, even if you don't believe it right now, you're going to eventually believe it if you say it enough. Even like, so like to me, that's such a powerful message. And I love that. And many of us need to hear that as we're going through that and going through this right now in this phase of life. So I appreciate that. You know, before we end our conversation, Marcy, I want you to tell me, and we go back now to when you were 19, I believe. What was the impetus for your eating disorder? I remember you were at the doctor, and I want you to share what it was that kind of sparked that journey. And it was just something that somebody said. And the reason I'm asking you that is because now 19 versus, you know, in our 40s and 50s is different. However, you were being told by a doctor, somebody, a healthcare provider, something. And I want you to share with that because I have an important message or point I'd like
Okay.
to.
So this was actually, I was 17 and barely 17. And this was right after my brother had passed away. So I'd just been through the biggest trauma of my life up to that point. And I had also seen myself, as I said earlier, I'd seen myself becoming obsessed with my weight because it was the one thing I could control. But I was kind of proud of myself that even at that age, and there wasn't talk, you didn't hear about eating disorders and body image stuff in 87. But I saw it somehow. I saw myself becoming in an unhealthy way, really hyper focused on calories and food. And I saw it enough that I had gone to the doctor. So I started starving myself, and then I went away to camp where I was with you and actually started to feel better because I was teaching dance and I was sort of more comfortable with my body, and I let loose a bit and was really in a much healthier place. Still very thin. I'd always been lean when I was growing up, very active. And I got back from that summer. So my brother died end of May. So now we're talking, this is maybe August, end of August. So not that long. Really traumatized still. Went to my family doctor. And I said to him, I told him that I had become obsessed with my weight. Because what he wanted is part of the physical. And it was just a physical. You know, my brother had died. My mother wanted to check on my sister and I to make sure we were healthy. And I had gone, and he wanted me to step on the scale as part of the physical, which happens. And I told him, please don't tell me how much I weigh, because I said very clearly I'd become really obsessed with it. And I knew I was healthy. Again, my weight's always been great. I danced all summer. There wasn't an issue. And he said, no, you need to get weight. And I said, no, it really just don't, hey, but just don't tell me what I weigh. And he thought I was ridiculous. And he told me to get on the scale. And he did tell me. And what he said was, he said, well, first, he kept pointing at my stomach and saying, look at that. What is that? And
Oh
then
my God.
he said that I wasn't overweight. He said, but society is very thin. And if I want to fit into society, I needed to lose 10 pounds. Now, again, I was not overweight, and I was fit, and I was strong, and I was very active. There was no one in my family with a weight issue. That came from nowhere. And I had told him that I was obsessed with it. And he told me that if he were me, he wouldn't be seen in a bathing suit until I lost the weight. And so this was shocking to me because this wasn't just somebody saying it. This was my doctor. So to me, I thought, well, I guess everyone's been lying, or I guess my I don't I I'm I don't wrong, because here's a medical professional telling me I need to lose weight. Meanwhile, you know, this was a guy. This is just a guy's opinion. And again, I was not overweight. I was at a healthy weight. But my brain said, I really tried. I remember trying. I remember thinking, this won't let you, this won't mess you up. This won't mess you up. This won't mess you up. Although he did make me come in every week, write down everything I ate, and he and I would have to
Gosh.
go in, and I remember him yelling at me if I ate something that he didn't approve of. So there are foods I was terrified of for
Oh my
decades.
gosh.
And then I will say that I did lose the 10, and then another 10, and then another 10. And I remember, didn't need to lose any. And I remember getting on the scale. He said, "Let me weigh you. You look really skinny." And he said, "Okay, you can lose. You can stop losing weight now." And I remember thinking, "Just watch me. You know, you told me I should lose weight. Just watch me." And I remember also just to say that that day. And I mean, this was such a long time ago, and I remember it so clearly. But that day, I was leaving that appointment to go to the hospital because, like I said, my brother had passed away, and it was from a hereditary disease. And so I was being tested monthly, and I was going from there to this hospital where my brother had died to be really. And I remember my mother and I would always stop at the cafeteria and get breakfast. And I remember that day going from his office to there and changing how I was eating. And so even though I told myself it's not going to affect you, it affected me immediately. And that I don't blame him because it was the seeds were there, but he watered them. You know, he just they just they he gave them all the sunlight and water they needed to grow into just it, until it took over. And that is dangerous coming from a medical prof. And I want to say this because I do I it's important to me. So a few years ago, so a few years ago, okay, maybe around 2017, I'd gone through, you know, sometimes you can rate your doctor, you can look up doctors and they will tell you what they're like. And I found his name. It was just a few years ago. And a young girl had written that she had gone to him and had finally felt the courage to tell him about her eating disorder. And his response was, "Ugh, you just need a boyfriend."
Oh my God.
So it has not, that has not changed.
Oh my gosh. Like that story is just, it's heartbreaking. I mean, you listen to it. And the reason I wanted you to tell it was because I hear from so many women, so that you were in your teens. And I hear from women who are in their 40s and 50s who are gaining this weight, who are going to their healthcare practitioners and their doctors, and they're hearing, eat less, exercise more. Or I can't treat you until you lose weight. Or the reason that this is happening is because you're overweight. It is still being told. These old, ways of thinking is still being told to these women who come from this Gen X era. And it's so maddening.
It's also so dangerous because, you know, somebody who goes in and they gain weight, for a doctor to think that their whatever symptoms they're going through. Because oftentimes women, it's very dangerous. Women will present themselves with symptoms and they'll say, "Oh, well, the symptoms are from the weight gain." Whereas, what if the weight gain is from a problem? Like it's you're you could be missing out on something so crucial because you're just looking at the physique and going, "Well, you gain weight, that's the problem." Well, no, maybe that's the symptom of a bigger problem. But that's when women have to have a voice. That's when, I mean, I learned that from my mom. You need to speak out. I remember the first time this is back when there were files. Now it's everything's on the computer. But they put the files behind the door when you're waiting for the doctor. And I remember the first time going and taking my file and looking, and the nurse came and she said, "What are you doing? This is my file." She said, "You can't do that." I said, "It's my file." And you felt wrong. Like I was
Right.
looking at
Like,
my own file. You feel like you're peeking, but it's like if there's
yeah.
anything in there that I'm not supposed to see, that's a problem. There should be nothing that your doctor knows about you that you don't know. But it's so important. I think as women, we advocate for our children. We advocate for everyone else in our life. We don't want to be, I'm still like that. I have to catch myself. I don't want to, I'm sorry. I don't want to be a pain. I don't want to bug
Yeah.
you. I know I call, I did. No, speak out. This doesn't feel right. It's not me. This isn't like me. I need some answers. And if you can't give them to me, then you send me to somebody who can, period.
Yeah, and I've had women on this podcast who have given great advice in terms of they're sitting in front of their doctor and they ask for a test and their doctor says no. And they said, write it down. Write down that I asked you for this test and you actually said no. So It's so important, like the empowering ourselves. I love that tip because, and I love that advice because it is crucial. And one of the things I tell women all the time, I'm like, ask for your blood test results, ask for the results, take them, understand them, look to see. Like, so for example, you get your thyroid tested and it's in the normal range, right? Like, we're gonna put them in quotes,
Right.
then are they in the optimal range? So you always want to know what those blood test results are. So empowering yourself when it comes to your healthcare practitioner, your doctor, and it is crucial. So thank you for that, because I think a lot of women will be like, yes, I'm going in there and I'm gonna link to the
Absolutely.
Interview I did with Stephanie Schott, which actually gives a lot of great strategies as well. I'll put that below. I highly recommend listening to that interview. Marcy, is there anything you want to say before we end the interview today?
All I want to say is, women, we've been through so much. We continue to go through so much. I mean, we deserve to celebrate ourselves, to support ourselves, to be our biggest cheerleaders, as cliched as that sounds. But we need to stop being so hard on ourselves because we are amazing. And again, like I said earlier, our self-worth is not dependent on how much we weigh. Period.
I love it. Thank you for doing this, Marcy.
Thank you for having me. Always great to chat with you.
And where can people find you?
I'm all over social media. I mean, you can email me, marcywarhaft@rogers.com, or find me on Facebook or Instagram is the best.
Wow. Like I said, I've known Marcy since we were teenagers. We met when we were 15 or 16 years old, and it's absolutely incredible that her story of survival, but also just her whole approach to really when it comes to weight loss and fear around weight gain, and we're all going through it. So you're not alone. Like, Marcy has her story, I have my story, and you have your story. So everything that you're feeling is valid, and we are all there with you, and we're in this together. So I hope you enjoyed the interview. If you did, please share it, because the more you share shows you care. And please leave a review of Menopause Reimagined, our podcast. Not only do I love reading them, but it really helps to get our podcast out there to more people. So thank you for spending the last hour and a bit with me. As always, I appreciate you, and I'll see you at the next interview.